There's some cool tunes here on a cool afternoon. Looking at the happy faces in the live studio. We're here at DJ Bake Show here on 90.9 FM WCDB Albany. And we're going to send it in to Mr. Mark Gronich in the live studio with some happy alums for more great reminiscence here. Jim Diamond just called. He's on his way, so we'll send it to Mr. Gronich.
Well, Bill, you're the coolest also, I'll tell you. Thank you for that intro. And we're sitting here with Bill Goodfriend, who was the fourth general manager of WCDB from 1981 to 1982.
Hey, Mark. Good to be here.
And we're also here with the original host of a great WSUA program, the Saturday Night of Gold. And in my history and my research, I found out that Saturday Night of Gold ran for like 6 hours at times on Saturday.
Longer than that.
On and on.
It went on forever.
And we're here with Eric Lonshein, who came up here from Maryland. And Bill came up here from North Carolina, is it?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
North Carolina?
I get confused,
okay.
Too.
Well, you're even colder than I am.
So, Bill's from North Carolina. And we got Eric here from Maryland, in the D.C. area. And then we also are here with another person from Saturday Night of Gold, who was at the university for a year and a half. And he came all the way up from the great city, my hometown, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, you got
and
a problem with that?
Brooklyn, hey, you know, I used to talk like that when I used to come up here. And then they told me I had to be on, if I wanted to be on radio, I had to change all that.
You know, one of my fondest memories was getting beaten up by the Brooklyn football team. So,
see that?
You know?
Mark hasn't finished my introduction yet.
Well, here it is, Andy Baum.
Thank you.
The inimitable Andy Baum. Yes.
I don't know anybody.
And you know what? Andy, I found out he was the greatest, he gave us the greatest amount of archival material. Only because he hasn't moved from his where he lived. 30,
I'm from Brooklyn.
35 years ago. So Andy, welcome.
Thank you.
Eric and Bill, welcome to back to the station.
Thank you.
And it's so great to see you all here. So
is this 100 watts, Mark?
It is now 100 watts.
Oh man, I'm nervous. Actually, there are actually people listening.
I actually have sound bites of when they said that they do promos now, goofing on it, saying that the light bulb is more powerful than the radio.
I don't have to go out and hold my transistor radio by a street light to hear.
Try to get electrocuted.
Well, for those who don't know, WSUA, the AM predecessor, started out of Brubacher Hall, and it was a carrier current station, and moved up to the university and the campus center here, the third floor, in 1971. And Eric, when were you here?
Started in 1970. Spent the first year in Brubacher Hall, and then moved up here over that summer, and
so were you part of the move with Joel Lustig?
Yes.
You helped with the equipment,
yes,
and everything. Yes. How many? It was like three or four, right, that helped?
There were the three or four that did the major work. I was not one of those. I like to talk. I'm not so sure I like to work a whole lot.
Well, I got to tell you a funny story about that, because I went back to Brubacher and to see if there were any remnants of WSUA in my intrepid investigative reporting there. And I'll tell you, they had... It's a sculpture studio now. College of St. Rose is on a 7-year of a 30-year lease, and they own the building, and they put a sculpture studio where WSUA Studios would be. But I wanted to find some remnant of WSUA, and what I found was I opened up the electrical box, and where the circuit breakers are, there's a sign up, a little sticker that says, WSUA Master, do not turn off, and the switch is still on 32 years after we left downtown.
32 years later, we're still turned on.
That's it.
I'm still buzzing.
Buzzing, yeah. Right.
So, Andy, tell me some of your recollections and remnants.
My recollections, well, let me get all 12 brain cells to talk to one another, and I'll come up with something. It was a great experience. I mean, this was a great training ground. I learned how to cut sound with a grease pencil and a razor blade and a splicing block, which in this 21st century era it has no relevance whatsoever. But just to be here and to the music library for me was one of the greatest things.
Which is no longer here. It was one of the greatest music libraries in the whole country.
Well, we had the largest 45s collection of 45s.
Filled up a whole room.
You know, and now we have a few left. We did manage to salvage some.
I brought one.
You did?
I found one back in my stack someplace. Wow. It even says property of WSUA on it.
I'm telling you,
I never took any of those home.
They're all Felix's house.
It just appeared.
No, I don't know, but he was the keeper of the 45s. Whoa. When we went FM, and he definitely kept that going a lot longer probably than it would have otherwise.
One of the great things about Saturday Night of Gold is that we have the keys to the library, whereas for most shows, DJs were able to pull five albums, let's say, before their show. We had the keys to the kingdom. And I know the way Eric had it set up, and we had all three studios going, because the new studio would come in on the hour. There was the goodnight line, which was run out of the production studio, people calling in. You could say goodnight to whomever you wanted to on campus. And then in the main on-the-air studio...
You may not have heard you, though.
Yes.
You say goodnight, but that doesn't mean anybody heard
you. Well, if it was a rainy day and they were on the Northway and it carried through to the highway. But in the on-the-air studio, we'd have one person working the phones for the request line, making up a list of 10 records, another person taking that list and going into the library and pulling the records and presented with a list of 10 records. Eric would be there, the ringmaster, and just spinning records all night long.
Wow.
From 11 p.m. till whenever.
At least
Saturday
four.
Night.
There were days I think we were there till 6 or 7 in the morning. It kind of depended on who was listening and what
and you knew
we
that.
Were doing.
And you knew that from the phone lines,
what we
right?
were doing had something to do with it. Yeah,
you knew that from how many phone calls you were getting.
The phone would ring and ring. And sometimes you realize that it was the same suite calling one song after another, after mm-hmm. another, after another.
Yeah, but there used to be like a second wind at 1:30 after the movies let out. And people would go back to the doors.
Or the bars.
And all of a sudden the activity would... You'd get those shut-ins on Saturday night, would call up at 11:30. Now, can I hear King Angel by Mark Denning? And I'd like it to go out to Margie in...
Because she's dead.
Well, we were really lucky because when I started in 78, was the first fall after we signed on as an FM station, all 10 watts. And so you could hear us maybe a little further out into the community. And then I think we spent my whole senior year basically calling the FCC every week. I can't remember the guy's name, but every week, can you push that 100-watt thing through? Can you push it through? Can you push it through? So I think he got us, when I left, we were up to about 11 watts or something like that. Spinal Tap, right?
So this one goes to 11.
Exactly.
Well, if we ever want to do that again, we now have someone there in Washington who's an alum.
Really?
Yes.
Great. We have some Republicans on our alumni.
There you go. Dick Cheney was on SUA?
Actually, no.
An undisclosed location.
That's right.
But I was in that crowd that could not make it to an 8 o'clock class, but the next morning I would get up in time to do a 7 o'clock radio show. And so I think
you went to class sometimes?
Well, once in a while, I'd see the teacher in the hall, and he'd go, "Hey, we got a test next week." I'm like, "Okay, great."
Yeah. My teachers didn't know who I was.
But
that's why you're only here a year and a half.
That's why I was here five.
Well, I've been saying for the past couple of months that I've been hearing that people have been majoring in radio and minoring in classes.
Exactly.
And that's what this university was all about. There are so many people that I've seen pictures of, and I got their names, but I can't locate them because they never graduated, and there's no real history based in the university. So I got to find other things like ussearch.com and, mm-hmm. classmates.com to try to find them for me. But there's a whole host of people.
And just look in Torch. They published the Social Security numbers.
Well, 1974.
Yeah.
That was the 74 Torch. They decided that. They didn't realize that could ruin people's lives 35 years later.
They thought they were making the student body anonymous by doing that.
That was before Al-Qaeda.
We were making a statement.
Hey, man, I'm just a number.
We're just a number.
That's right. And the university locks those 1974 books behind, and you got to sign them out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
You can get them, but you got to sign them out.
But, Mark,
I've got one.
The key thing.
I'll sell mine.
The key point being, Mark, that you were able to develop your repertorial skills here.
Yes, I was.
At WCDB and run the news department.
Nelson Rockefeller.
I remember.
My first interview. You remember that?
Yeah, okay. I remember. And Hugh Carey after that, right? Mm-hmm. And you were able to develop those skills and run the news department, and that's what you wanted to do. You didn't want to go to class. You didn't want to study. You wanted to be a reporter, and that's what you became, was a reporter. And there are a lot of people that came through this place that were able to follow their dreams, and, it's certainly what propelled me into the ranks of middle management out there in America. But actually, this is what we liked when we came to school, and guys like, Russ Rieger and Jack Isquith were out there. Were able to change the music business because they loved music so much when they were here. They went out and you know, we're extremely successful in the music business.
Brian Lehrer tomorrow night, who's being honored. He's been on public television for quite a number of years.
I have a list of 45 what I call stars, and you know that obviously, Bill, you're one of them. But now they who are still in the industry, who have made it big in the industry, and or Stephen Stadnian. I mean, Eve Kofsky is at CNN. Wayne Halper was, I don't know if you know Wayne.
Oh, I remember Wayne.
But
yeah.
Wayne is the head of label operation. Now, that doesn't mean, when I say label operation, it doesn't.
He's
doesn't
clicking that
putting
machine.
The labels on
he's
the
not stamping the CDs.
I mean, the union.
I have a label maker in my drawer.
He runs DreamWorks Records in Nashville for Spielberg. I mean, there's all this. There are so many people who have done so many great things, nationally, locally. You've stayed in the business. It's just really incredible. We got a real list of stars.
So now that all these people have gone out and been so successful in the music business, maybe we can get them all to fix it.
Okay.
We want it back.
That's what we sure do. That's amen to that.
Okay. The radio stations over the last 40 years have also generated a lot of people who went out of the radio business but learned business here.
Yes.
Life.
Because
how to get along.
And the station was a business, believe it or not, even though we didn't think
it was completely student run.
With SUA, it was more of a business because you were able to run commercials.
Right.
And I still have some Schlitz commercials. that you,
and the Blue Note Record Shop.
And Blue Note.
That was one of our biggest sponsors. We got a lot of our records from the Blue Note.
Abram Park. Yeah. Doris Park. They're still around. They still own it.
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
Kids taking it over now.
Just so we're offering a governor's amnesty. Governor Pataki offered amnesty this weekend for all WCDB and SUA alums who have a guilty conscience and have records and stuff in their house. They can bring those back, no questions asked. We're not quite sure how much space we need because I think it would fill up the whole station. There would be no room for anyone. But if anyone has a guilty conscience, Governor Pataki has declared this the WSUA WCB record amnesty and also CDs amnesty weekend. So you Eric's all set. You know, he's not a problem bringing back that 145. Well, we're going to send it back to our good friend DJ Bake, who's going to take us out, and then we'll bang out some more happy alums to reminisce on this, the 25th anniversary of WCDB and the 40th anniversary of WSUA right here on the Capital District's Best in Everything. That's 90.9 FM, WCDB, Albany.
Thank you, DJ Bake. The illustrious DJ Bake holding down the fort here at the Capital District's Best in Everything. 90.9 FM, WCDB, Albany. Bill McCann here with you as part of the WCDB-WSUA reunion weekend here at homecoming at the University of Albany, and we are joined with some happy alumni who are here to tell us all about what it was like when they were here. And Dan Gilboa, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How are you?
Greg Stewart Hack, the voice of the Great Danes.
Doing fine.
Kevin Kelton.
Yes, that was my maiden name.
And Mr. Keith Mann.
And that's still my name.
That still is me. Fantastic. So you guys all pumped being here for a reunion weekend?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Big chill.
The big chill. So why don't we start off, Dan? Well, when were you here, and what did you do? And tell us a little bit about your memories of the radio station.
Well, the memory area can be kind of cloudy, so because there were some brain cells being killed back in those days. I was here in 65 and 66, 67, and I flunked out in 67 along with a lot of other people at that time, but I stayed on as a professional consultant for 2 years after that. Came back to the university and subsequently graduated in 1978.
Fantastic.
And so, stayed about 4 years with the station, even though two of those were as a, quote, professional
consultant, as opposed to professional student.
Exactly.
So what was it like when you were here?
Well, it was a lot of fun. We were back in Brubaker Hall, and we actually it was still the early days of the radio station, and it was a high turnover rate back in those days. Even we had we majored in WSUA. That's what we did here, and especially became an important part of my life when the second year I was here, they moved us up to the new campus to live and go to school, and I hated the new campus back in those days. So I spent, like, all my time at WSUA.
So here you are all these years back, and now what do you think of the campus?
It's hasn't changed.
I did eventually
come back and get through all the classes and graduate from the new campus, so I do consider it my alma mater.
Do you have any particular favorite memory or story about your days at the station?
Well, there's a lot of favorite stories, some of which I can go into and some I can't. In reading the program for tomorrow, it was talking about how we started basketball broadcast back in 1968. We actually were doing basketball back in 65 and 66. We actually did our home games at Hudson Valley Community College one year.
What was the team called? The state?
We were actually that. That was the first year we were the Great Danes, I believe.
Okay.
We went from being the Peds to the Great Danes.
Also the Pedagogue.
But the interesting thing was our remote broadcasts at that time were very difficult to set up.
Megaphone?
Yeah, so it seemed like that. And we couldn't get the phone line squared away at one of the games from Hudson Valley, and two of the engineers at that time, one of whom's here for the reunion, Steve Ostro, the other was Marty McIndoe, who was the
We were trying to get him to come. I left lots of messages.
Yeah, they couldn't get the phone was not available at the time that was supposed to be set up for the game. So Marty dialed the station from a payphone at Hudson Valley, and we strung a line from the payphone over to the broadcast booth, and we broadcast on an open phone line.
I'd like to see who was there putting quarters or dimes at the time.
Oh, it was hysterical. It was really funny.
Man, well, that sounds like typical SUA CDB, shoestring budget, the whole nine yards. Mr. Hack.
Yes, sir.
Voice of the Great Danes. What do you got to tell us, my friend?
Well, I was here from 1981 through 1987. I did my graduate school work here, so I just stayed with the station another 2 years. I did sports. I did some news. I did play-by-play for basketball and football, as well as weekly sportscasts and newscasts.
And you come up here on reunion. Has anything changed, or what are you thinking about?
I walked into the newsroom briefly. I didn't see the AP ticker coming up, and I guess it must be out for repairs or something.
Well, back in the day, when I first came to the station, they had the old AP wire, which the big machine that was enclosed, so it would only make 5 billion decibels as opposed to 10 billion. And I used to dread, hoping against all hope, that during my show, I wouldn't have to be the one that changed the ribbon, because you'd take it out of the plastic wrapper and you'd get the ink. There's no way you could change the ribbon on the AP machine.
That's right.
Without it. And then you went to the fancy, dot matrix, little pins printer, which would always jam and break. But that went by the wayside. One year they had a real bad budget, and they just didn't have the money for the APY service, so they canceled it. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. But now, for the most part, I mean, the layout of the station is similar. Obviously, the records are gone.
It's
a lot of fun to be back here, and it's nice because, I could look back, and people that I met here 20 years ago, I still keep in touch with.
Right.
And, it's through my relationship, just coming here to the station and meeting people, and, I'm in a fantasy baseball league with 5 former WCDBers, none of which are coming this weekend, but...
Right. But, it keeps you in touch. Something you have a common interest. That's fantastic. Yeah. Kevin Kelton.
Yeah.
Jewish, definitely Jewish.
Despite the name, I am Jewish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he was Irish.
He said that was his maiden name.
Right. That's right, yeah. And I'm, by the way, in a phone fantasy league with 5 former WCDBers. So.
What do you want to ask? This is the Bill Clinton Don't Ask, Don't Tell era, so we're holding over on that. So what do you have to tell us on this fine homecoming CDB SUA reunion weekend?
I graduated 25 years ago. I was here from 75 to 78. I did I spun records, but mostly, if I was known at all, I was known for a comedy show that we did on WCDB called Radio Free Albany. And which had a little bit of infamy in its original broadcast. This was one of the first shows that went on the FM station. And we were doing a sketch comedy show that was supposed to be satirical. And the first sketch we did was a parody of the old Geritol commercial. I know that the people that are
going to school now won't remember this, but there used to be a Geritol commercial that ended with the tagline, "My wife, I think I'll keep her." And we wrote a parody of that, which ended with the tagline, "My wife, I think I'll beat her," which at the time we thought was very funny. Turns out that the Student Association vice president that year was also a very powerful feminist on campus. Kathy was her first name. I forget her last name. And the call started going to her home or her dorm room about this, and she called up and then inadvertently got cut off and called back and said, "If you cut me off again, you won't have a budget in the morning." And so Paul Rosenthal, who is the station manager at that time, or the general manager, came rushing down to the station and said, "What did you guys do? You said you wouldn't do this to me." And we had to apologize for the next month to keep the station on the air.
Well, I'm glad, because otherwise we'd all be
here. Yeah. I like to think that the station is here in spite of me.
Well, you know, a little misogynistic comments every now and again, they'll always get you in trouble.
They work for me in my adult life. I don't know why they didn't work so well in college.
I understand. Keith Mann.
Yes.
Man on a mission. What do you have to tell us?
Well, I was with the station starting in 1967 when I came to SUNY, and I found out there was a radio station, got involved pretty quickly. The first thing I did was work in the music department under Skip Fisher, who at the time was the music director, and then I became the music director, and then later on the station manager.
So you were a long time radio station guy.
Yeah, I was pretty devoted once I got hooked up. In fact, I had to leave school for a little while because I was so involved with the radio station.
But, so you majored in radio in classes.
Until I went back, then I did finish. But I was like on the 6-year plan.
So when you got contacted about this reunion weekend, what was your first thought?
I was looking forward to it. I knew that there'd be a lot of people that I remembered.
Has life changed, or is the radio station still going to be the same vibe? Or?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Got any good stories to tell us or any history to share?
Well, somebody asked about scandals, and there was a scandal.
Uh-oh.
When I was station manager. We had this brilliant idea that we were going to buy a remote control airplane and use the airplane for promotional activities, and the airplane cost several hundred dollars.
Which was probably a lot of money. What year is that?
This is like 68, yeah, or 70, I guess. This
you
happened.
Probably didn't have a huge budget either.
No, and it wasn't openly in the budget, and the budget came up for review, and since I was station manager, I had to take the fall for it, so that
what
was
happened?
About when my...
You just got in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, but so one flight, literally, of the plane?
Basically one.
And it crashed.
And it wasn't even for the intention it was planned.
Well...
Bad idea.
What can I tell you? So, gentlemen, any words of wisdom you want to impart on the current students, or... shall we take it away? What do you want to tell us?
I guess have fun, enjoy it, and, you know, for me, I went into something totally different. I'm an accountant.
Right.
But for those, you know, it's a great experience. It's a great college experience, a lot of memories, and just enjoy it while you have it.
Great.
Ditto.
Lots of dittos.
Lots of naughty heads.
When I was in elementary school, we used to sniff the dittos. You know, they still be wet. They don't have those anymore. The nun and religious instruction would come and give you the ditto, and you'd be going... Anyway, we'll send it back to our good friend, Mr. DJ Bake, as we are here on the 25th anniversary reunion of WCDB and the 40th anniversary reunion of WSUA, right here on the Capital District's Best in Everything. That's 90.9 FM. WCDB Albany.
It's called
Fantastic. DJ Bake in the house. Spinning some old school. Gotta pot down that level, my friend, because we got a little feedback working. Oh, we, you know, it's the modern technology at WCDB. Yee, doggy. Well, you know, we're working on it. In any event, this is Bill McCann, and you're listening to 90.9 FM WCDB Albany. We're here during reunion weekend, the 25th anniversary reunion of WCDB here in Albany, and the 40th anniversary of our AM predecessor, WSUA 640 AM Buzz, along with us. I don't know what they were smoking, but I'm sure that's something along in that history, but I haven't gotten any confirmation on that yet.
In any event, we're here on this homecoming weekend here at the University of Albany, and we have a group of over 200 alums back here at the station, all excited, bright-eyed, and bushy-tailed, as if it was their orientation to come to college in the first place. So we're excited. And in this illustrious assemblage, we have with us Mr. Eric Goldstein, Mr. James Saturno, Jim Diamond, and David Singer.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys, thanks for coming back, man. This is going to be a blast this weekend.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. So, you know, I have all these students. They're all excited, and they're hearing all these war stories, and, you know, this, who are all these people, you know?
Old guys.
The old guys. The
guys who have nothing better to do.
You might be old.
So what do you guys, we're here to tell war stories. We're here to talk about the station, what it was like when you were here, many reminiscences you might have, what you can tell us about the station history of when you were here and all that. So you guys, you can go freestyle or you can take one at a time.
Bill, you know, it's been about 20 years since we, you know, we've been here. I'm Jim Diamond. And it's amazing. Some things do not change. You know, we're in the same building, you know, the same room. I can't believe it, but the records are still here.
Yeah. Almost. Well, some would argue about that, but there are records.
Anyway, you said a second ago, buzz along with us. What were they thinking? And I'm sitting at this very table remembering a story. I'll just take a quick one.
Sure.
I was sitting here, and it was my job to interview Jorma Kekkonen, the guitarist for the Jefferson Airplane.
Okay.
Okay, he came here
into
this room, okay?
Wow.
And he, it was a few years after, of course. This was 1979, 1980. And first of all, he had all these conditions for what he would do to allow me to interview him. One of which was that there were like 25 16-year-olds that traveled with him around the world. He insisted they all sit in this room.
Female.
Okay, mostly. All right. The other was during the middle of the interview, what do you think he does?
He lights up.
Right. In the middle of the interview. And we had, you know, and we had to deal with that in the middle of the interview, and it made for a very interesting interview. It's this very table, this very room, so it brings back a lot of memories just to be here.
Well, this live studio, as you know, I can remember coming myself up to the station as a freshman in 1982, and being a jazz head, and I heard, you know, saw a poster or something about WCDB, and I said, I'll go check it out. And I walked in, and you know, CB, you know, people look at you like, you know, who are you? You know, but then you kind of get into the place and I kind of fussed around. But, you know, they used to have bands in here. And I remember, you know, Jean-Luc Ponty, they brought him up after a concert in a ballroom. And that was like a big deal and all that. And, again, when you tell stories like that, and I tell the current students, you know, when you look at the old yearbooks and you can see that Miles Davis played on campus. And you look at some of these... Jerry Garcia, and you just, the list is endless of all the famous people that passed through this radio station and in the ballroom downstairs. So, yeah, man, that's just, I mean, that's like a memory you'll have.
Well, that's, you know what, the whole...
is Dave Singer talking.
Thank you, yeah. The whole time here, to a large extent, I was, you know, as driving up listening to some of you guys on the radio, and was, you know, thinking of memories and things, and you know, it blends together in a lot of ways because, you know, spending hours and hours and hours here, whether it's on the air or just hanging out listening to your friends on the air or hanging out with your friends on the air, kind of blends together. It is true that some of the things that stand out most are stories like what Jim just told, what you just told Bill about, you know, the celebrities who came up here. Again, you know, that's one of the things, you know, you say, we come back from a long time in the past. Of course, the place looks exactly the same. I mean, with, you know, very minor differences. And this room, sitting in this room, we had in the couple of years that we were here, we had the Clash in here, and you know that was the replacements. That was a big deal at the time.
Sure.
I mean, to have the, you know, those guys in here, the Violent Femmes. We interviewed them in this room. In fact, I remember sitting here. And we were doing an interview, and I think I can't remember the guy's name, but I think it might have been Victor DiLorenzo. It was one of the guys in the band. But anyway, we're interviewing them, and like maybe three of us are sitting over there, and three of them are sitting on this side of the room, and we're interviewing them. And then one, like Victor, gets up and he starts walking around and doing something. And then all of a sudden, like in the middle of when I'm like asking a question, he takes this electrical tape, and I he's behind me, and he just like snaps the electrical tape. He pulls off the thing, and it goes like, you know, like right in
my
ear.
That was a good sound.
As I'm like talking,
and like freaks me out, you know. And you know, it's just like he's just a guy.
Now, what years were you again?
I was I got here in the fall of '80 and graduated in May of '84. So Jim, who is sitting to my right, is Jim was the I was just saying as I walked in here and saw him. Jim was my freshman year general manager, which means he was the guy who was standing there in front of the lecture hall introducing the radio station to us incoming freshmen who wanted to possibly join. And I looked up in the front of the room and said, like, that's what I want to be 3 years from now.
I started training in 84 for a year. And I was like the young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed guy, you know. And I tell the current DJs that they don't just... the current management here is actually very good, but it goes through cycles. And I tell them that when I first came here, there was just a whole mystique of the radio station. There were certain rules and things.
Yeah, a lot of rules.
You didn't go past that door with a beverage or something like that. The record library had to be locked.
Oh, I put the lock on it. I put the lock on it. People were stealing left and right. We had to lock it.
But, Bill, you know what? A diversion off of that, because I know your point is about the rules. But of course, the fact that the record library was locked does offer many of the funniest stories in the radio station.
Someday we'll tell
them. I mean, because people, you know,
would lock the key in there.
You locked the key in the room,
right?
And you had two records with you,
right?
And you you couldn't put any more records on the air, and so you started fumbling.
There was a guy named Joe Trellin who was famous for locking it in there and waking me up. I had the only other key, waking me up at all hours to come.
Well, you'd be trained. I'm sure you guys could tell stories. You were trained. I mean, you dreaded. God forbid you would call up the programming director or the chief.
These were important people. Steve O'Truba, who was the engineer for about 15 years, I think, walked in. And by the way, I just want you know, Bill, you talked about the mystique, and Dave kind of mentioned, you know, was talking about that also. That when he looked, he came in and he saw the general manager looking up. I felt the same way when I got here. You know, the station got on the air, you know, and was off and running, and was just, you know, a place you really had to respect. And, you know, and I looked up to people like Dave Reisman and Paul Hennigan and the fantastic job they were doing back then.
Are there any people here who were from, like, class of 87? Because those would be the people who would have looked up to me, so I'd like to meet those people.
Well, you know, speaking of the history of the station, we do have a legend, if you will, in the history of WCB, because when he came in and I said, "Hi, I'm Bill McCann," he said, "Hi, I'm Jim Saturno." I said, "And we have a picture of you in the memorabilia case, the one that CDB signed on, etc., having the first song, etc., etc." I said, "Wow. I mean, I've heard about this guy.
He's a legend."
Tell us about that.
Well, it wasn't really so much legendary then as, you know, and holding people in awe. The guys that you mentioned, Paul Hennigan, Dave Reisman, those are the guys that were in my class. And so, we didn't hold them in awe. In fact, we pretty much ignored them as much as possible. So we didn't really have a strong sense of rule, because there was a quick transition we were sophomores and juniors when we started running this station.
Right.
And so the...
But you were there when it
was pretty loose.
Born and run?
It was more or less a group decision that, you know, we sat around because we had weeks before we finally had final approval. And other than Ira Goldstein, who was our engineer at the time, who used to be here in the middle of the night testing, as he said, but we could hear him in our apartments downtown. We could hear Ira up here testing the radio.
The transmitter was on.
You knew what you were looking for. No one else would find it by other than...
That's right. So, yeah, he would be up here playing records for most of the spring before we got official permission to throw the switch. So,
story behind the story.
Yeah, we finally decided that what we were going to do is that... And 78 was a big year for Bruce Springsteen, and so that it was more or less decided that Born to Run should be the first song, and then we had to decide, well, who would actually play that,
right?
You know, because, you know, there's always...
So how'd you get lucky?
I have no idea.
Right, so you were the Born to Run guy?
Yeah, I was the Born to Run
guy. You hit the button.
Yeah.
Wow, you checked the record. But
Jim had a history of excellent rock and roll, history of excellent rock and roll shows all the years he was here.
Right.
And a pretty pretty strong knowledge of rock and roll, as I remember, as well.
Yeah, I was one of the guys that actually, at this table, I'm the only one who was still here when it was WSUA.
Right.
And what's now a closet out there was the entire studio. And this studio was nothing but... construction.
Right.
Right.
You
know, yeah, I came in just after that.
Yeah, so
didn't know it at all.
We would come into the and hang out in the studio over there and you know, watch the workmen
right.
come in
so
here
now,
and put up corduroy on the walls.
So you're I was wondering about that. But, so you're here in 78, born to run the whole thing, and we have Eric Goldstein here, 82. So you were here when it went to 100.
It was a little later than that.
It was
83. I was fighting for that.
I think. Or maybe 80. You know, it might have been 82.
Yeah, I was fighting for that.
I thought it was my freshman.
Maybe May of 82.
More like.
I don't know.
So that.
I was fighting for it the whole time I was general manager, and Bill Goodfriend, who's here, right. was fighting for it after me. I actually went to the FCC with Dermot Quinn, right. my program director. We were up at Washington for a radio conference, and we said, hey, let's go see the FCC. You know, we've been hearing about this FCC.
Let's find-
yeah, you have the federal communication. So we knocked on the door. We went in and said, hey, where's our application? You know, we want power. And they got someone's attention. They brought us up to the top of the stack, and it helped get this thing approved a couple of years later.
So, Eric, what do you have to tell us about WCDB in 1982?
1982, I got on the air right before I graduated. Did a few shows at 3 in the morning.
Right. Well, that's we all did that. Exactly. At least I did. You know,
but all my shows were 3 in the morning. prior to that.
Who was your program director? Was it Dermot Quinn? See, if you didn't know the program director, that's probably why you got stuck in the overnights. That's probably, if you can't
Trellin.
With Joe Trellin.
Trellin.
Joe Trellin.
And Bill Goodfriend was the general manager.
Oh, right. So then it would have been Joe Trellin and Bill Goodfriend,
right.
Okay.
I got involved with the station, I think, junior year with the Weekend Update.
The Weekend Update.
You know, Bill, I had a sportscaster who was working for me when I was here named Jody McDonald.
Sure.
Who is now at WFAN in New York, the biggest, you know, sports station in the country.
Basketball with him.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's like...
Excited. You know who's coming up for the reunion? Bill Daughtry, MSG Sports Desk.
How do I... Is that right?
WSUA alumni.
I didn't know he was.
Yes. He never graduated from the university, as far as I understand, but he was SUA, and he's coming up. Joe Bowman, who's an SUA alum, who happens to be on the faculty here at the university, and is one of those people. I never met one. I didn't know they really existed, but you heard of the Board of Regents of the state of New York?
Yeah.
He's a regent.
Wow.
So we have a regent.
Wow.
I
used to take exams. He used to write these tests, didn't he?
You're going to blame this guy. You get to yell at him this weekend.
You know, but speaking of Bill Daughtry and Jody McDonald, I mean, this radio station has produced a lot of talented people.
Oh, absolutely. As Mark Gronitz was here earlier, he put together a list of about 45, 50 people. I mean, there are people who are alums who've gone to excellence in all kinds of fields, whether they're doctors or lawyers or whatever.
Right.
We even have a dentist.
Right.
I found out in my conversations. But we put together a panel discussion. I figured, what can we do to have current students interact? Last minute, what can we do? So I put together a panel discussion of WCDB and SUA alums who are top executives in the music industry. So tomorrow, from 2 to 4 p.m. here in the Campus Center, a question and answer panel.
That's terrific.
Yeah. And we have people who I didn't even know, but the positions are phenomenal. We have Dermot Quinn.
Dermot Quinn is my program director. He's at Warner's.
Vice President of Warner Brothers.
He was my program director.
Josh Rosendahl, who was music director in 1989, is the Vice President for Alternative Marketing and Music at Sony.
That's terrific.
Sony Music. We have
Russ Rieger.
Yeah,
was my music director.
He came from Maverick Records.
That's why those guys are. See, that's why that
we
had
a
legend.
We
had Jack Isquith, who was head of label relations for AOL Music. We have Ray Geminer, class of 74, who's the vice president for promotions at Virgin Records America. These are some big machas who are going to come up here and really have an opportunity to interact with the students. And I just think, hey, you know, be able to tell them. You know,
that's great.
Are, how they got there.
So let's make sure the students come down and attend that program.
Yeah, so we're excited about it. So hey, what else you guys got to impart for us before we head out to this?
Well, just talking about people. I mean, you know, it's nice that the building's still here and the records are still here. But really, as far as my experience goes, what makes this so special for me was the people, and you know, the friendships that I built and the people who I haven't talked to in 20 years, but are looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a great time. Not, you know, nothing illegal, but just happy. happy.
Yeah. We all want to thank you, Bill and Mark Gronich, for putting this together. It wouldn't happen without you.
Well, we appreciate it. We thank you guys for coming back.
It's a personal phone call from Mark to
Well, CDB, as I always tell the people, it's not about, it's the people.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of the best memories I have of college are hanging out in that room out there.
That's true.
And
that's true.
Well, I tell you, you come to the station meeting, they say, you need to hang. How do I get on the air? How do I get a show? Well,
you hang out.
You get to know people.
Pretty much all I did.
Volunteer. You put records away. You do all the little things. Make yourself a nudge, and before you know, you're up.
Yeah. All right.
Guys, I thank you very much for coming, and we're going to send it back to our good friend DJ Bates.
You're listening to 91 FM WCDV Albany.
All right, guys. Back to you, sir. Well, we thank you, and we thank you, gentlemen. We're here at the University of Albany, the State University of New York, and the 25th reunion of WCDB Albany and the 40th reunion for WSUA, 640 AM, the predecessor of WCDB. And we're all excited, and we're here for homecoming weekend, and we have a couple hundred alums here from all generations. To meet their old friends, to reminisce, to have a couple of cocktails, and, generally have a good time. So we have an illustrious panel here. We have Mr. Harvey Kojan, Steve Hart, Phil Lewis, and Mr. Matt Lissau. We got two sports heads, right?
Three.
Four. We got four. This was fortuitous.
Yes.
To have a sports panel of...
That's one word.
That was really...
We were here.
If you haven't heard, we have we have several prominent sports alums, and I don't mean to not include you in that panel, but Bill Daughtry will be joining the homecoming this weekend. He didn't apparently graduate from the university, but he was a member of the WSUA alumni.
He applied. We'll take anybody.
He came to Mayfest one year.
He didn't apply himself.
The MSG Sports Desk. I mean, that's like, I see that. It's great stuff. So we're excited that he's coming up to the reunion. But we're more excited at the moment because you guys are here, and that's what we're all about. So, gentlemen, we can either go free form or we can take you one at a time. Whatever you want to do, or we'll just throw it open. You guys, all sports.
Well, I wasn't exactly in sports, but...
But, you're on the cusp.
Yeah.
Close enough for government work. So we're here.
just remember, I go back into the early 70s here, and free form was always better.
Right.
Well, I'm not talking sports. I get my gist. Okay. Things are probably... Have they changed? No. I'm looking at a current student here, and she's nodding her head and saying that things have not changed here, which is a good thing.
Well, she was, what years were you here?
I was 72 to 76.
She wasn't even born yet.
No, I know.
You're old enough to be her father.
I'm old enough to be her father. Thank you for putting it into perspective for all of us.
All right, well, I'm probably old enough to be her father, too.
No.
I'm 39.
I'm 48, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you look good for 48.
I look damn good for 48, don't I?
So Harvey Kojan, tell us, this is your life.
This is my life. Actually, I'm in radio.
Right now we're in the radio.
We're on radio now. What I'm trying to say is that I actually came to WSUA and continued on and made that my career, radio.
So where are you at now?
There was no doubt. I'm at WNOR. Which is a rock station in Norfolk, Virginia Beach. What we used to call Tidewater, if you guys remember back.
Mets AAA team.
That was the Mets AAA, and it still is the Mets AAA. Now it's the Norfolk Tides.
Right.
They got rid of that stupid Tidewater name. And we're now known down there as Hampton Roads. I live in one of those areas that they've never been able to figure out exactly what to call it.
Right.
But it's basically, it's an area of 1.5 million people. It's not a little, when I was growing up in Brooklyn, and we heard the Tidewater Tides, we thought it was, of course, the New York prejudice. You think anything outside of New York is no one.
Didn't they change the name of the team, strangely, right after Mookie Wilson got married at home plate?
See, that's when you know you're talking with a bunch of sports guys, because now I've come all the anecdotes. Mookie Wilson wasn't the name of the year.
So he literally got married. he literally got married at home plate in Tidewater.
Yes, he did.
And then I think they decided.
But that was way before I got there.
Oh, okay.
So now you're at the station. What are you doing there?
I'm the program director.
Ooh, the
Yeah, I successfully avoided responsibility for too many years in then back in 1993, I was in Los Angeles writing for Radio and Records, which is an industry publication.
Sure, absolutely.
Did that for a few years there, and then I finally had a programming opportunity down in Norfolk and took it, and I'm actually in charge, if you guys can
believe. Well, since you guys are sports guys, you know, as Jody Bear says, when you get to the fork in the road,
Take it.
So tell us about your days at the radio station.
Oh, man. Now, first of all, we are broadcasting.
Right?
Yeah. Back in my days, we weren't. So we pretty much could do anything we want. So we are under the rules and regulations
of
the Federal
Communications Commission.
But then again, we can admit to what was going on back then, right?
As long as it's
It's too late to kick out.
Hello, Mom. I did drugs. Hello. They were all legal, though.
Well, I had mentioned to an earlier panel that George Pataki this weekend declared WCDB WSUA record amnesty. Anyone who wants to bring back a record, they might have commandeered or a CD. Although we have a big truck outside because I don't think we can spin the product actually came back. So anyone who has a guilty conscience can bring back the stuff. So now, what did you do when I was here?
I did everything. I attacked this. This is what I found out is what I wanted to do. You know, and I mean, which was I wish I knew what my goals are now for the rest of my life. Now that I'm, you know, heading toward the big 5-0. But back then, when I was, you know, 17 years old, and I got here, I knew I wanted to go into radio. And I'm pretty much spent all my time here at the radio station doing news and doing sports, and then eventually going over and doing you know, playing music.
So now you're the furthest back alum. I don't want to say the oldest alum, but you're the first back alum at this panel. We have probably the youngest alum at this panel.
That's right.
That'd be me. Matt Lissauer.
How you doing?
Now, you graduated recently.
Yeah, I just graduated last year.
Yeah, as I say.
Thrilled to be back. So much is... You'd be surprised how much has changed within a year,
How are you coping?
Could you even recognize the campus?
No,
oh my
God. I could. There's this little spot of dust right there, and I'm like, oh my God, and I wasn't there before.
Tell people what it was like when you were here all those years ago.
All those years, well back, 1999 when I just came. It was great. I had so much fun. Just like you, I felt like I, you know, wanted to, you know, do radio and do radio a lot. And I was doing a lot. I was last year was the training director, which was really fun. I had a lot of good time doing that.
Well, we need to train people.
Exactly.
are you going to do radio?
I'm currently at Quinnipiac University, which is in Connecticut, and I'm in the journalism program there, trying to get my master's and hopefully getting into radio journalism.
Well, you know what's great about this reunion is, you know, we have a programming director at a prominent station in the southern United States of America. And
what's this? He's handing me. What's this here? Oh, it's his resume. It's his resume. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And there's also something else there. Mr. Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, now this is like back in the old days again.
You know, I hadn't seen one of the new 20s yet, but now I did.
Exactly.
Phil Lewis. Bill, tell us about
it. Seems like the same, just like old time seeing you, Bill.
And
it's great. It's great. It's
I'm
great.
The old guy at the station. Yeah. So,
it makes me feel more comfortable.
Great. Great.
I think we graduated the same year.
Yes.
Well, I sort of fall in halfway between both of you guys. I really wanted to do this kind of work. And, in fact, I did for a little while. I got a gig with the Albany Yankees, who don't even exist anymore, for a season. And had a good time with some other Albany alums, Phil Pivnik and Mike Smith, who both passed through here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to be here today, but... and, you know, wanted to continue, but sometimes you don't get to do everything that you want to, and you find other things that are very interesting. What I want to know, more than anything, having been in Division III, in broadcasting Division III, is why would a school go to Division I, like we all dreamed that they would one day, just to be the punching bags for Syracuse University? I mean, this really bothers me. I mean, I sit there, and I finally, for the first time in my life, after having... And excuse the audience who listening today. No one listened to the games. Finally, they get to Division I, and I'm putting on CNN, and I see the Albany score and the highlights.
Right, is that cool?
And it's five consecutive steals by Syracuse for layups. I mean, it bothers me. I mean, this is what we all dreamed of.
Yeah, but you know what? I have to say, it's good and it's bad. You got to take your licks. You're right. I mean, we've been dreaming about that, you know. We got a great football team, 1AA, albeit, but, you know, Coach Ford has really, the transformation has been spectacular. They won their conference last year, handily. He is just a heck of a coach. The basketball program, again, you know, they are just going to make strides. You have to start someplace. And I think that this university, over the last a decade or so, making these transitions, it all is to our benefit. So I'm really excited about that. And I think for the people broadcasting the games, you know, the current sports guys, mm-hmm. it's exciting for them, too.
Oh, yeah, it's the same benefit for them because the games are the games and you get the experience.
Well, it's on a higher level.
But I think the only answer for the basketball team is to bring back Doc Sowers.
Steve Hart.
How are you?
Class 87.
Class of 87, yes.
And tell us.
Should have been 84, but class of 87.
It all worked out.
It all worked out.
So here you are. You're back at the station. All these, do the math for me, my friend. 17 years. And so you how did you find out about the reunion, and what was your reaction when you found out about it?
Well, Phil, my good friend Phil, who used to be the voice of me of the Danes back in those days, told me about it because I think he was a little insecure that he wouldn't be able to get on here without me and sound good. But, you know, it was a great experience for me because it led to some things like some work for the Miami Dolphins, which is my favorite team that I hooked up with down at the NFL draft. And for 6 years, I did work for them down at the table, you know, using the phones, calling the scouts, stuff like that, and, you know, being on ESPN and stuff. So it was a great experience. And I can attribute that, you know, to this. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm out of that now. Thanks. A lot of people are happy about that. But, you know, my reputation grew as the dead air when I was on air group. You know what I mean? That's what I'm known for. So, but it was a good time.
Actually, that's a quick story we can tell.
Sure.
Steve, I was off doing my first season with the Albany Yanks, and I was away for a weekend, and Steve had the opportunity to do the spotlight because he was always very interested in the NFL draft. Apparently, he lost his notes, and when I got back, they told me he would never do a game without me again because he couldn't find his notes, and he decided just to let the audience wait for him to come back.
Well, I told him the dead air was for effect, but he said a half an hour?
No, so he was my assignment for the next part of the year because he was never allowed by himself on the air. But thankfully, we have enough people here that he's allowed back on. But yeah. We had a lot of fun, actually. The one thing I think Steve would agree with me about was that the real fun part we had was not necessarily being here in the radio station. It was getting to travel with the team and experience a lot of stuff that people don't normally get to experience. And, you know, getting to see Doc Sowers, you know, work.
So it's like being on the team bus at the Slapshot, you know.
Right. Well, there are things that we couldn't even begin to talk about.
Thing that we were allowed to do real quick is that we were the first team to broadcast the women's games with Mary Warner.
That's
and
true.
Things, right? And that was a big deal to them because those women always felt second class to the men.
Right.
And Mary was very helpful with us, and the girls were very appreciative. And, you know, and those games were exciting. They went to playoffs, and, you know, we thought we were doing them a favor, but it was a big benefit to us, too.
Was Doc Sowers his warm, effusive self with you guys as he was when Doug LaWanda and I were broadcasting the games?
You know, I was told by Keith Martyr, who is a name that many people may recognize if they remember the alum. He used to work for the ASP, but he told me you don't speak to Doc directly until he knows you for a while. You know, you literally couldn't come into his.
So the 4 years that we broadcast,
it got better.
Interviewing
it got
him
better.
Wasn't long enough, apparently.
Right. It got a little better towards the end, but
he actually did speak to me once. I was doing the PA announcing at one of our home games, and we had 16, 18, 20 game winning streak back then, Division III at the time, of course. And I was doing PA, and I said something about, and the Great Danes having won 16 consecutive home games. And Doc Sauer dressed me down after that, saying that that was not allowed. Apparently, he was old school.
Very
you
much.
Don't mention when you have a winning streak or whatever else. That was the only time he talked to me. 4 years. Thank you, Doc. Great to be back.
But he did build a very great tradition here.
Oh, absolutely.
And, but I agree with you. I mean, there were times when you didn't want to come within 10 feet of the guy, especially when they lost to Potsdam.
That was a big game. Potsdam, the whole gym was packed. You know,
yeah,
right?
In a sense, that's the one thing we lost with the change in division was the great rivalry with Potsdam, the home and home, the fights on the court.
It was great. The tennis balls, people saying things we can't say here.
Right.
She told us to tell you, you know, to the whole, 4,000 or 5,000 people yelling like
me. They still do.
There weren't a lot of Albany fans, but the ones that came to the games and the ones who got to experience that got a real treat.
Excuse me for my ignorance, though. Is Siena still on the schedule or no?
I think they got back on the schedule. They had a terrible...
Because back in the old days when I was here, Siena always kicked our butts.
Yeah.
Except every now and then we would upset them, right. And then Siena moved up way beyond there.
Well, same thing with the Union football.
Right.
Same
thing.
They broke the contract, and then I think a year or two ago they played for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, they did want to get back to that. But I remember there was that one instance where they dunked in warm-ups, and that was illegal. And they started the game off with a technical foul, and there were all kinds of bad blood between Albany and Siena.
Well, gentlemen, I'm afraid that our happy segment is going to be coming to an end in just a moment. But is there any happy wisdom or anything you want to impart on this august occasion?
I'd like to go first. I can't say enough how
things haven't changed, have they?
Well, how much I think I speak for all of us. We got out of the experience of being the WCDB, and I'd be thrilled if we can come back in 20 years from now, and things would just be progressing even more nicely.
I'd be thrilled if I was alive 20 years from now.
Well, no, and appreciate.
Yeah, but you look better than me. You're 10 years older than I.
He's a Southern air.
But appreciate.
I feel honored to be even in the room with these people. You guys, set a foundation for everyone. And it's thrilling for me to see the history of WCDB, and it's such a great experience.
This whole weekend is going to be lots of fun. It's going to be approaching, or it is approaching, the top of the hour, and as all of us who received that wonderful training here at WCDB, you must, between 2 minutes of the
That's
hour
right.
and 2 minutes after the hour, engage in the legal IT. It must be WCDB Albany. There shall be nothing placed in between WCDB and Albany. If you want to say 91FM or 90.9FM before the WCDB in Albany, and then anything after that, you can, but do not. It is verboten.
Just clear the board. We're going to be here all day.
5 minutes song that they're playing, then you can wait until the first convenient.
But I just think it's a good practice that there would be at the top of the hour.
It's not WCDB Albany Troy, Schenectady Albany Troy anymore.
And hello, WSUA. I don't know. What is this WCDB thing that you guys are talking about?
Let me say this. The funny thing about the station is DJ Bake will tell us that the phone has one time, the computer has another time, the clock has another time, so they all vary by about 5 minutes. So I just wait and I say, it's just about 6 o'clock, and you're listening to 90.9 FM WCDB Albany. We're going to send it back to DJ Bake, who's going to spin some old school or whatever else wonderful things he has, and we're here at the 25th anniversary reunion of WCDB and the 40th anniversary of WSUA here at homecoming weekend at the University of Albany, engaging in our oral history. I'd like to thank you guys for coming, and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you for
having
me. Thank you for having me.
That's what it stands for.
Good afternoon, good evening, actually. I'm Rebecca Seaman, here with alums of WSUA and WCDB. It's the 40th and 25th year's anniversary. So, kick it right over to you guys, introduce yourselves, and tell us about it when you were here.
Everybody's
dead air.
Let's see. All right, there are five of us here, and everybody's looking at me probably because I probably used a microphone.
But you do round tables all the time.
Right, microphone most recently. I'm Brian Lehrer, and I'm class of 73, and I host a show which some of you out there may know on WNYC, the public radio station in New York City, Monday through Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon. And gosh, what was it like way back in 69 and 70? It was an anarchic, free-form, rock and roll, mostly album rock radio station.
Kinda.
Yeah. Well, what else? And that's Ernie Sprantz.
We did a lot of pop.
You are.
I was Ernie Sprantz. I did the pop. I did Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I think I was the only one crazy enough to get up at 5 in the morning and walk across campus to get on the air by 6.
What's your year?
76.
76, right. So we overlapped by a year. And there was a real divide, as I remember it, there were a few divides. There were a few divides. There were the sort of top 40 people. So when you say pop, maybe you were like that. And boy, did we album rock people look down on you. And then there was a... There was a black contingent.
Yeah.
And they had, I hate to say it looking back, but we, the white power structure of the station, ghettoized them. They had a block of back-to-back shows known as the Friday Night of Soul.
Mm-hmm. Bill Daughtry was when I was
Bill Daughtry.
Yeah,
here?
He was in that group.
Big sports guy in New York.
Big sports guy in New York. Yeah,
I remember a guy named Emmett Nix. And I don't know what ever happened to him, but he was almost like the black program director. You know, he helped organize.
It's called the urban department now.
Now, that's right.
More politically correct for this era.
Right. Well, I hope things are better now. I really do, because, you know,
there's not quite a divide like there was. There's still different sections, but we're kind of interchanged.
Well, it seems to me that music now is more sort of, the music is more integrated. I don't know. You know, you can hear, I was listening to the station before, and, you know, you hear a kind of straight-ahead rock and roll song followed by a hip-hop song, mm-hmm. and it doesn't sound weird. But in 1971, you know, you were either playing Marvin Gaye or you were playing the Allman Brothers.
That's it.
And the twain did not meet all that much. And there it was always a whole crowd of these guys on Friday night. Because that was really the only time that they could get on. And looking back at it, that was really one of the worst things about my time at the station.
And speaking of Friday night, this is Mitchell Kleinrock. I was at SUA from 1971 to 75, graduated in 75. And I had the show, at least for the spring of 1972, which I checked on my number one program guide, right before the Saturday night of Soul, Friday night of Soul. So I had 4 to 6 o'clock in the evening, and I had to prepare for these guys who are going to come in after me. But what I did, and I think what most of the people, at least the early years that I was on the radio, was what I call freeform rock, which was very popular in New York City at the time, WNEW, and it was just album cuts, whatever you wanted to play. I think we had a lot of freedom to do what we wanted to do in terms of music. I used to play music, read poetry, books on the air, Charles Bukowski, you know, things like that that are very obscure. And I'm not sure if broadcast stations would let us do what I did in those days now.
Anything goes.
And I can speak to that, Mitchell.
Yes.
Identify yourself, please.
I'm Mark Smolak, class of 74, was here from 70 to 74 as a disc jockey. I did a lot of the late night music from 11 to 3 in the morning when the drinking age here was 18, and that accounted
and
for a lot of our shows.
That age, wisely.
And now, coincidentally, I am not in music anymore, but I am a criminal defense lawyer. So just give me a call and we'll give you a little advice on any of these questions you might have about alcohol and drugs, because I can defend you as well as tell you the experiences that we've had. And if anyone tells you they remember everything about the 70s, they weren't there. I do remember a Mitch Kleinrock story. I don't know if he'll let me tell this or not. But while I was the station manager, he called me up about 2 in the morning. And unbeknownst to him, and had nothing to do with him, a transformer blew the station off the air. Mitchell was imbibing in certain substances, which will go unnamed, called me up in a panic and was concerned that he had killed the radio station. So we had fun.
I remember that.
Was this WCDB? Or
this was WSUA.
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 WSUA. Listeners out there can't do the math like me.
Right.
Slow.
Right, because CDB started in 78, which was actually very prescient of them to name the station after CDs, like 10 years before CDs came in.
Right. And at the time, we were only carrier current.
You had
so
to plug the
only
radio
people,
in.
Right, you had to plug the radio in. You only got it on campus, maybe downtown dorm, and somewhere in the middle of our first year, actually the snack bar also started broadcasting it. So it was available, and you could request WSUA, the snack bar. But it didn't go very far. We all took it very seriously, extremely seriously, as a radio station to do our best, but it really didn't go all that far.
Right. There are two groups of people who I don't think really ever graced WSUA at that time very much. Faculty members. I don't remember ever seeing a faculty member.
Did we have
member.
A faculty advisor?
We did. I think it was John Gunn.
I remember John Gunn.
Who was at the time, in 1972, he was 80 years old, you know, and ran
the communications department.
Tiny, puny little radio, television, and film department that they had, which was nothing at the time. I don't know what it is now. So faculty members and listeners. I'm not sure that we had any listeners other than the other radio station staff members who would listen and quit. But, you know, because one time, my very first talk show ever, I opened with one of the guys named Gary Weitzman, who still lives in Albany, runs a great art gallery here called Art Forms. But Gary and I came in one night and opened the phones. We didn't get any phone calls. We were begging for phone calls, and we thought we were interesting. I don't know if we had listeners.
Well, we did a few. I would get requests occasionally. Yeah, if you knew people, and they were your friends, and they knew you were going to be on, and they could get past the 60-cycle hum on the radio to listen to the music, they would occasionally call up and request.
But we didn't care, because ultimately we were doing it for ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, my first introduction to the radio station had nothing to do with the radio. A friend of mine was doing the evening news, and he'd say, come on down to the radio station. So I came in, and I said, why? He goes, because there's a free phone here.
It's a free phone.
There's a tile. You're right outside the office here, and you'd sit there, and for an hour and a half, you'd dial and get a busy signal dial. Finally, you get a dial tone, and then call home. You talk for an hour and a half. Your mom said, how much is this costing me? Because phones used to cost, you know, $2 a minute to call home at the time. And it's free. It's every Thursday night, religiously, I was there calling up until one night I did a news story, and the rest is history. But if it wasn't for the phone, I wouldn't be here.
Was that rip and read? Is that what they still do
the AP wire
these days?
Yes. Mr. Rip and read?
We don't have an AP wire here. But
well, now we have an internet connection somewhere.
Well, yeah. We have an internet connection, and if someone wants to get on the internet and actually get the news,
right?
We
I mean,
can
you
do
can
that.
Get if anybody cares. That, I mean, you know,
electronic
you can,
AP.
Yeah, you can get it. Well, without paying for it. I mean, there are plenty of websites, regular news websites that have headlines pages.
Do you guys stream your audio aside from broadcasting? Is that available on the internet?
You guys, anyone can go to wcdb.albany.edu, click on Listen Live, and hear us right now.
Well, that's now I'll have to do that.
That is scary.
It is scary.
Do you have an active faculty advisor now? Does anybody actually ever teach or coach in how to do this?
Not that I know of. Not that I know. We have a training that we provide to other DJs, but other than that, nope.
Did we ever have a screening process? Or did you just show up as a body and say, here, I want to go on the air. Fine, sit down. You're on the air.
Whoever had the most
Did you guys have any kind of training or FCC?
There was some kind.
At the time, you were supposed to. We all took classes at the time, not on campus, but we all studied for our third class because you needed one then. I remember having to go down to Barrack Street.
We didn't need one. Until I got one, and I was one of the few people my year that actually has one,
a
FCC license, but it was not required to be on the air.
But this, you know, the training, I mean, there were no objective, I don't know if there are ever any objective standards in broadcasting, but this is just another element of the mob rule. I wonder if anybody remembers the name of the guy. There was one guy, and I can sort of picture him, but I can't remember his name, who was always trying to get on the air. And we thought he was too nerdy to be on the air. And we, in our time, Mitchell, and
our little clicky.
God, I just
even for the news.
That's a whole other standard, Ernie. Right. But there was God, and he was so frustrated about it. But we just didn't think he was good enough. But he was the only person who ever showed up at the radio station that we turned away from being on the air. And then a year after I left, and you were there,
74.
And then didn't interest completely fade away, and you couldn't get enough disc jockeys?
I don't think that was ever a problem, but as I said, we didn't remember a lot of things from back then.
Yeah, and, but no, you got. I mean, let me chime in for a second because I was here for Harvey. That's Harvey again. I'm back. I'm sorry, but I'm here with the old guys. I was here with the young guys before, and I really couldn't relate, you know. But no, I'm 2 years younger than these guys, and actually, there was a massive shift then because we're talking about realize the guys that you're hearing right now, except for Ernie Sprantz on the end there. Who came with me? You guys were the bastion of the underground progressive. Right. Anything goes. And what happened was there was a monumental shift here where the top 40 guys came in. If you can believe it, even back even back in the mid-70s. And, in fact, that's what estranged me from the radio station in my last year here. I spent very little time here, if you can believe it, when you guys, I mean, you guys were here. Gone. That's what I did. That's what we all did. Right. And the most bizarre thing, you hit it on the head, we did it only because we loved it. No one was listening. Let's be honest. I did the same thing. I was on the air one time. I had a prize to give away, and I started with a trivia question, and no one called. And then I did an easier trivia question, and no one called. Finally, I said, call me. If you can tell me your first name, you win this. And no one called. At that point, are you even broadcasting?
See, now, I did real trivia questions, all campus-based stuff. Like, one morning on my walk to the camp to the station at 5 in the morning, I counted all of the columns.
No. And that was a trivia. You don't remember how many there are. Well,
no, I thought it was like 144 or something like that, but I counted all of the comments. Right,
gross.
And I would have, you know, things like that, trivia questions. And I'd get phone calls for trivia, but, you know, it was weird.
Well, for the old guys here that are participating in this, you have to remember this was late 80s, early 70s, late 60s. If you were there.
There you go. There you go.
Late 60s, right, too many gone. Late 60s, early 70s, there was a lot of cultural turmoil going on in the country. There was a lot of very interesting music that was coming out. A lot of people who came from downstate New York listened to freeform radio like WNEW.
Which is sad, by the way, because they now they're, what do they call them now?
I think it's Buzz? Country.
Blink. Yeah. No, Blink. Blink.
Blink.
Blink right. 102.
But they've changed that.
That was major freeform.
To talk, and then they blew up the talk, and now they're blinking, blinking, and I don't know what
But also saying. Other people that we listened to were, you know, Steve Post and Gene Shepard and other radio personalities that broadcast downstate that had a different radio sensibility that I think we all listened to and in our own little way tried to emulate at least a little bit.
We thought we were artists.
Yes, well, and we had the freedom to express it, so it was...
But in a way you were, because you guys were the beginning, I mean, pretty much of this station, and it's still around.
Right, and we were, you know, we were trying. I mean, there was a whole, you know, almost
innovators more than artists.
You could follow. Well, we were probably more followers than innovators, to be honest. But there was a thing going on centered in what you might call album rock music at the time. You know, typified by the Beatles, kind of moving from the top 40, "Want to Hold Your Hand," into the more art rock stuff that they were doing, and that was. That was leading a movement, and it was part of a movement where sort of serious art and literature and film and so forth.
It's like the Led Zeppelin crowd on one and ABBA on the other, you know.
and pop music, rock music, which had been pop music, were merging, and there was a common ground between the popular, or this overlap area between the popular and the high art, so to speak, and that's what we were interested in.
For a second there, I thought you said pot music, but I think that actually had a certain influence on what was going
on. It's a whole other subject.
It is. And a lot of people who were personalities, at least one of the several years that I was on the air, all lived together. So music was very important. It was played continuously at the house, arguing over what would play next. And so we did it on campus. We did it at home. We talked about it. So it was
we must have been insufferable.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap this up so we can hand it back over to DJ.
Okay. Well, bye.
All right.
Later.
So keep listening.
Anything else you'd like to add quickly about the station today, what it's like real quick?
Keep on trucking.
Are you guys pleased with how it is now?
Well, definitely more room.
Unfortunately, until I just found out that it's available on the internet, I live in San Francisco now, so I haven't been listening to very much of WCBB.
Oh, you have to tune in.
I will now.
All right. So we're going to hand it back over now. Be back in a little while.
Thanks for lending us your show.